Welcome to the Young Adult Podcast, where we tackle conversations surrounding the crazy, exciting, weird, and tough moments of being a young adult. We believe Jesus informs these moments, and we hope to bring a biblical perspective to encourage you, push you, and inspire you to growth, leadership, and being more like Jesus.
Hey, young adults, it's good to be with you tonight. Thanks, Curtis, for the invitation to do so. I'm really excited about this subject. Now I know why I was invited to speak on this subject, but I'll get to that in just a little bit. The reason why I'm not with you live is because, quite frankly, I'm with my sweetheart. I'm at her side. She had surgery yesterday and recovering from a pretty serious back surgery. So we do appreciate your prayers for my sweetheart, Marilyn. And thank you for doing that, because she would have been here too if she could have. So, all right, here's how I want to start the evening, okay? What comes to your mind right now? What are you picturing in your mind when you think of a wise person? What'd you picture? You know, when you were a kid, before you go out, even during high school, some of your parents probably said, make wise choices. You know, whatever that means. I guess that to them that meant make right choices, right? I mean, our whole lives are a constant stream of choices, if you think about it. I mean, we say yes to coffee and no to tea. We say yes to a walleye filet versus no to a New York strip. When I said yes to Marilyn, I said no to every single woman on the face of this earth other than Marilyn. And when I say yes to telling the truth, I am swearing off lying in all of its forms. If you say yes to purity, you're saying no to all forms of impurity, and on and on and on. And the reason I say this is because, admittedly, most of the choices, at least half or more, have no moral connotation whatsoever. It doesn't matter if I choose tea over coffee or coffee over tea or New York strip over a walleye. It's, those don't have any moral connotations to them. And a dozen other choices, half of which you made today. But when we're talking about purity, when we're talking about our ethics, when we're talking about marriage, and these are non-negotiable for Christians who are loving and following Jesus. So, and I would say that we're talking about here the subject of wisdom. That's what I've been given here in the book of James. Almost everyone I know acknowledges the wisdom of asking for wisdom, right? I mean, when someone says, hey, how can I pray for you? I mean, I'm going to guess at least half of you are going to say for wisdom. I just said that this morning, and I've been saying it all of my life, and it's legit. I mean, it is what we need. It is what I need. It's what you need. We'll talk about briefly what it is. But I really want to be as practical as I possibly can be with you for this short time that I have with you this evening. So I asked you, what picture came to your mind when I asked you, what do you picture when you think of somebody who's wise? Was it a person? And if it was a person, was he old? Of course he was old. Of course he was. I mean, we picture that, don't we? I mean, if this church had a conference on wisdom, which wouldn't be a bad idea, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't invite all the local youth pastors to be the keynote speakers. I'm not saying that there isn't wisdom in this room right now. I'm not saying there isn't wisdom amongst our youth. It's just, we don't think that, because for the most part, that is not where we see wisdom residing. I often have people thank me for my wisdom. It's really nice to be thanked for that. I gotta tell you something. I went half my pastorate. Nobody ever thanked me for that. Not in my early days, anyway. They do now. Why? Why is that? Simply put, older people who have lived for Jesus, not perfectly, like me, not perfectly, but if there's a modicum of wisdom in our lives, it is because it's been learned over time, plus pain, plus poor choices, plus good choices, plus joy, plus sorrow, plus loss, plus sin, plus repentance, plus a few retractions. Little shameless plug on the book there. Anyway, that produces, Lord willing, humility and a perspective on life. You know, David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young and now am old and have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Now, you just think about that. That's a famous line from David. I have been young and now am old and have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. If you think about that, David, when did he write that? And he wrote it clearly from the text. He wrote Psalm 37 when he was old, when he was older anyway. And he's writing from perspective. He's looking back. I mean, I can just picture him lifting the quill from the papyrus, you know, that he's writing on. And he's thinking. He's thinking, you know, he's thinking about, you know, when he was playing the harp in front of Saul as a young teenager, when he faced Goliath, when he fought lions and bears, and when he hid all 600 of those men that were following him in caves and fed them, and he was dodging Saul for 10 years and killing Philistines and doing crazy, I mean, just all these exploits, they were all behind him. I think he was also thinking about his major moral failure with Bathsheba, that horrible sin that really sent his life on a different trajectory. But as he looks back, he has perspective. And he could not have said, I have been young and now am old, but have not seen the righteous forsaken. He simply could not have written that when he was young. And you're young, and I was young. I have a little more perspective than you. Hopefully some wisdom. When we refer to the wisdom, think about it this way. When we refer to wisdom in a young adult, we usually put a tagline on there, don't we? He's wise, what? A lot of it came to your mind, right? Beyond his years. We throw that in there. Why do we do that? Because that's an admission that a young person is not known for their wisdom. So when they do, it's like, wow, that's cool. But if your rich uncle came to you and said, you know, I have bequeathed to you $1 million from my estate, that would make you excited, right? But if your rich uncle was only 45 years old, what would your next thought would be? What would your next thought be, rather? It would be, oh man, this is going to be 40 years before I get that. Before he dies off. But what if your rich uncle then said, yeah, but I want to give it to you now. I want to give that $1 million to you now. Would you take it? Of course you would take it. Of course you would. How much more wisdom? Just this morning, somebody in our community group texted Proverbs 3, and here's what it says, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver. And her profit, better, and by the way, the word better is a word of comparison, right? Better than gold. Better than the $1 million from the great uncle, right? She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. And her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. That's all talking about what you and I both need, wisdom. The problem with this, with wisdom, is we just don't see its value. I'm going to just assume a group like this, some of you do, and perhaps most of you don't. And my prayer and desire tonight is that you will value wisdom above everything else because God tells you to. Most of us are like the old lady, old lady in France in 2019, so just a couple of years ago. She was selling her house, all of her meager items, and she hired an auctioneer to come in and put a value on everything that was going to be sold. And the auctioneer saw this picture, this old picture, and it caught his eye because he'd sold enough art in his life that he thought, what in the world is that? It was above her stove. Believe it or not, she'd been cooking beneath this thing for who knows how, maybe 30, 40, 50 years. She just thought it was a cool old picture. She didn't think much of it. He asked her about it. She didn't know much about it. It was pretty vague as to where it came from. As it turned out, he had it tested. The picture was painted by a famous artist in 1260, 70, 80, something like that, AD. It was valued at $8 million. And it sold at an auction sometime later for $26.6 million. She was cooking underneath that all of her life. Think about this. This is the whole point. This is why the writer of Proverbs in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter the whole eighth chapter talks about you can't compare anything to wisdom. And so he says in chapter 4, get wisdom. So James, which is the book we've been looking at, is really the New Testament book of Proverbs. It's the New Testament book of wisdom. And he really tells us right out of the chute. How do you get it? You ask. If anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God, but you got to ask in faith, because if you don't, you know, you basically can't expect to get it. Here's the good news, and this is for you young adults. This really is good news. The Bible doesn't require, God doesn't require that you reach a certain age to acquire wisdom. You can have it. It's at your disposal. It's right there. A lot of you have been cooking right underneath it, and you don't even realize it. So what is wisdom? Here's a real simple definition. Wisdom is knowledge put to practice. That's it. It's knowledge, so you got to have some understanding. You got to have something. It does require some level of knowing, okay? But the problem is, in our generation, we often equate knowledge with wisdom, and that's a Herculean mistake, because there's a lot of intellectual fools that are out there. So wisdom is knowledge that's put to practice. The Jews had an old expression. They would say, I know, therefore I do. So James, ever the practitioner of truth, unpacks what wisdom looks like. And this section is what some expositors call the heart of James's letter. You know, motivational preachers will tell us, you know, how to get your best life now, right? James tells you, this is your best life right here. The life of wisdom. James is a simple guy. That's why I love James. And he puts things in simple terms. And so he's saying there's just two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom from above and there's wisdom from beneath. And I just want to do a very brief running commentary of this. And you can do a deep dive on this, and you probably should on this section. It's the section, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Where he asked the question, who is wise and understanding among you? And so James tells you right out of the chute that wisdom and understanding, they go together. They're like hand and glove. Let him show by good conduct. Again, notice, wisdom is something you're doing. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done, not just thought, not just understood, in meekness. That word means to gentle strength of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. In other words, it ascends. It doesn't descend from above. It ascends from beneath. In fact, if you've been following the context in chapter 3, verse 6, remember he's talking about the tongue. The tongue is, you know, set on fire by hell. So hell is referred to here again. For where envy and self-seeking exist, watch this, confusion. You should underline that word, because if you show me a confused young adult, I'll show you a young adult who's living according to wisdom that ascends from beneath. And every evil thing are there, but the wisdom that is from above, and this is where we want to just camp for a moment, is first pure. So obviously, choose purity. It's then peaceable. And when I think of peaceable, think about people and think about conflict that you have. That naturally comes, we all have conflict that comes into our lives. We all do. Family, people we work with, friends, young adults. What's your goal when you disagree with someone? What is your personal goal when you disagree with someone? Because we have one. Is your goal peace or victory? Because if your goal is victory, That's wisdom from beneath. The real victory comes from the wisdom of being peaceable. It's also gentle. That means to be controlled. By the way, gentleness and zeal are not oil and water. You can be zealous for God and you can be gentle at the same time. And this is my favorite expression here. I'm reading from the New King James, and some of you are following with your ESV and you're saying, some of these words aren't the same. I memorized this out of the New King James years ago, and I love this next expression. It's my favorite of all, willing to yield. Some of your Bibles say reasonable, something like that, but willing to yield. This is my favorite characteristic of wisdom, because the willingness to yield doesn't mean you compromise. It doesn't mean you give up your convictions. It means you're willing to yield. It means you're willing to give in to somebody else's idea. It means you're willing to, for a greater cause, for peace. The willingness to yield in an argument of a debate that doesn't seem to have a period at the end of it. Consider that, because the antithesis of this would be pride, right? Full of mercy, that means it doesn't retaliate, but moves toward the offender instead of away from the offender. Full of mercy and good fruits. Everybody loves, or let me put it differently. I love this, full of good fruits. I love the way he finishes, full of good fruits, because fruit is what? It's the product, it's the end result, it's the proof in the pudding, right? Everybody has an idea. Wisdom has fruit. And it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. And I would just say that I would add one beatitude to this. Blessed are the consistent. Be consistent in your life and you'll be wise. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's how he concludes his time here. If I have been born from above, which is what John 3:3 means. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God, right? Well, another translation says, unless a man is born from above, because it's both are true. You need to be born again, and if you're born again, you'll be born from above. It'll be something that God has done in your life, changed, transformed. And if I've been born from above, I should seek wisdom from above. Should I not? Should you not? So really the question that is being begged here is, first, before we go anywhere, the wisest thing you could do is be born from above. Some of you here have never been born again. That's possible. I believe that. And if you've never been born from above, never been born again, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrender your heart to Him. Confess your sin to Him and trust Him. Trust the all-wise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. And then finally, there are just three things I'd like to end up with as it pertains to wisdom here tonight. First of all, pray for it. We're told that already. Pray for wisdom. James 1, verse 3 says that. Pray for wisdom. It's a gift from God. It comes from God. And every good gift and every perfect gift, James 1:17 says, comes from where? Same place, from above. We're trying to get stuff from above. And in this case tonight, wisdom. Secondly, look for it. And when I say look for it in others. And you might be thinking, well, how do I know, you know, how do I know who to look for and who to look at? Listen, wisdom in other people is a little bit like pornography. I don't want to describe it to you, and I can't describe it to you, but I know it when I see it. And I think that's the way it is with wisdom. You know it. You see people. Their lives are orderly. They have the fruit of the Spirit. They have these fruits of wisdom that are described here in James 3. And those are the people you should draw near to. And I would urge you tonight to think of one person in this church. One person. Young ladies, one person, one woman that you would say, oh my goodness, I want to be like her. Guys, one man that you would say, I want to be like him. Then you ought to draw near to that guy and learn everything you can about him. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 tells us to mark those individuals. And finally, apply it, because wisdom really, what is it? It's knowledge put to practice. Apply it to yourself. And again, we hearken back to the very opening salvo of James when he says those famous words, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You'll never deceive anyone else until you first deceive yourself. And if all you do is amass knowledge, then you are a self-deceived man or woman. You need the knowledge put to practice. You put it to practice as unto the Lord, and you will be wise. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every young adult in this room. And I ask, Lord, that they would ask for wisdom. Wisdom that comes from you. Wisdom from above. I pray that they have been born from above. And those who are in this room who've never been born again, who've never been born from above, that tonight might be the night of their salvation. They might seek out Curtis or someone else to talk to about the state of their soul. And then, God, I pray that you would raise up a mighty group of wise young adults, wise beyond their years. And for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on the Young Adult Podcast. We love that you're here. Young Adults is a ministry of Sailorville Church in Des Moines, Iowa. Follow us on all major social media platforms. Hope you can join us again next time.